they were like, hey, you're a nerd, you'd probably like the Adventure Zone. And it turned out I really liked the Adventure Zone.
Yeah, nerd.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to In and Out of Character, a Role Players podcast. Every week, I bring on a guest. We talk about role playing and what we like about it, what we dislike about it, and we just talk about other things. Today, I am talking to Jason from Memester of the Week. I believe we had a really good conversation this week. We talked about team composition, the industry. We talked about, you know, the skills that they gained through role playing and how that helped them with their teaching. We talked about just the community as a whole and how much we liked it. I hope you enjoy this episode. And if you really do like it, please go give Jason and the rest of the crew as much love from me as you possibly can. They would appreciate it and I would appreciate it. All right, let's go ahead and get their Adderall going and then we'll get into it.
Hey, all you journers out there. This is Journey Sitwell. If you're new to this channel, we're all about searching out the mysteries of the supernatural and trying to disprove what doesn't sit well with us. On today's special episode, I thought we could do a little introduction to the members of my new investigative team. Let's get started with my friend Dan. Hi, Dan!
Hi, my name is Dan Ryan, and I go to college, and that is all, and I am normal. Can you get the camera off me, please?
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Dan. And this is Mordecai.
Yo, what's up, dude? Is it cool if I burn for this?
Okay, look, Mordecai, I don't want to get demonetized. Can you please just put that away right now, please?
Stop. Yeah, one sec. Okay, what's up, everybody? I'm Mordecai Spell Bridges, and I'm a friend to magical creatures and beings alike, including Dan, my best friend.
Great! Thanks, guys. And now for the sponsor of this week's episode. This week's sponsor is Memester of the Week.
Memester of the Week is a Monster of the Week actual play podcast starring these three weirdos as they go investigate strange happenings and fight what goes bump in the night.
You can find Memester of the Week wherever you listen to podcasts, if you're a podcast person. That's all for today's video. How does that sit with you? Let me know in the comments below. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe for more spooky content, and hit that bell to be notified whenever I release a new spooky episode. See ya!
So I want you to know that not only am I getting to ask, not only am I excited because I get to ask you to come on the show, but I'm also really excited because I've listened to your podcast already before without even knowing you.
Oh, thank you. That's like, honestly, huge, huge, huge moment for me. Because very, very rarely do I run into somebody who's like, yeah, no, I've listened to your show and this is the first time I'm meeting you. Normally it's the other way around of like me pitching out or like being friends with people in the community and then they listen to the show.
I'm going to take that as I myself am a bit of an oddity because I'm just such a big role-playing nerd. And I got really into, what's the name of it? I have the book right here, but I can't find it. It's
just Monster of the Week in general?
Yeah, Monster of the Week. I don't know why I have such a hard time remembering that the system itself is called Monster of the Week. I have the book. It's right over here. But I, for some odd reason, whenever I think about it, because I was introduced to it via the shows like $2 Creature Feature and the other ones like yours, I never call it Monster of the Week. I always call it Nameless Monsters or something like that.
Yeah. The system that they are playing.
I really am super thrilled to have you here because I've listened to your show quite a lot. And this last one was, and I haven't finished it, so don't you're not allowed to spoil it. I'm at 25 minutes and 30 seconds, okay. So you can't tell me anything beyond that point. But immediately you guys jumped in with a, hey, you know, viewer discretion is advised. We're talking about some pretty heavy topics this one. How was that? What was that like? Also, hey, hi, Jason. Thank you for coming onto my podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, so I'm Jason Myers, he, him pronouns. I am the GM and producer for Memester of the Week. I do sound design for a lot of different things and have some projects coming down the pipe that you'll also, if you like Memester and if you like $2 Creature Feature or Gesselheim,
You will also very much enjoy those, because we got stuff in the works.
Am I joining you on one of those projects?
There's
three that I signed up for. One was Hearts, one was Cobalt, and the other was an E word. I can't remember.
No, I'm not on any of those for Jesselheim. I'm currently with Jesselheim, because I've played in a couple of their one shots and their Monster of the Week, like their quote unquote main Monster of the Week series. And I'm joining them for them actually playing the game Jesselheim that they've been developing for a while. So I'll be on that. We're gonna record it. We're gonna record it at some point. But currently that's the only project of theirs I'm on.
Oh, that's cool. I was really excited because I didn't realize if you had been on there or not. I'm just now getting to the point in my podcasting career where I'm like, I already have to feel comfortable reaching out to people because my show does not exist without a guest. So yeah. Like, I have got to be comfortable reaching out and talking to people. But this will be the first time I'm actively starting to go out and looking to join others in their own shows. And being like, hey, you guys are doing a one shot and I would love to join it.
Yeah. And like, I've known Sean since 2021, 2022. Mm-hmm. No, 2021. Because the way that I met Sean was Keeper's Retreat 1. And that happened because I was in the Shrimp and Crits server on like one of the old discourse before the actual place exists. And we were hanging out and I was a fan of Shrimp and Crits and someone mentioned like, oh yeah, Ian never gets to play a game. And I was like, I'll play a game. I'll run a fucking game for you. And I remember exactly where I was. I was, living in Tokyo already. And, I was with my wife and we had gone to the Pokemon Cafe for the first time. and I got my cool. I got my fucking Gengar drink and I was like just chatting in this Discord and I was like, hey, yeah, I'll run a show. And then Ian was like, yeah, man, that sounds awesome. And then Ray and Sean were like, yeah, for sure. And Sarah also was like, yeah, for sure. And I was like, cool, I guess I'll run a game for all these keepers that I listen to their shows. That sounds really fun. I was so fucking nervous. And it ended up being great. The Keeper's Retreat 1 is honestly just a ton of fun. We get a lot of very, very good moments and very interesting characters.
I actually had Sean on not too long ago, and his episode is going to be coming out, not to date myself, but his episode should be coming out this Friday. And I'm really excited about having it out there because he was so nice and chill to talk to. And yeah, we talked a lot about his like one shot stuff.
He's a wonderful person.
Yeah. I have two questions for you. First off, is this the same Ian who did the Dredge campaign?
Yes.
Oh God, I gotta get him on. If it's the same guy, like I have every intention of trying to get him on because I love Dredge, and I've ever since Cap told me about the Dredge thing, I have been listening to it.
Yeah, I have an immense amount of respect for Ian and Cap and mm-hmm. all really everybody at Shrimp and Crits. I've not gotten the pleasure of working with the other two members of Shrimp and Crits, but mm-hmm. every time I sit down with Ian, every time I sit down with Cap, it's like, oh yeah, for sure, we're doing the goddamn thing right now. So it's just. They're so good. I can sit here and talk for an hour about everyone else in the community.
No, it's and be so like, cool.
Yeah, they're so solid.
This is something that I've just sort of like kind of started to feel that I'm getting into now, but it's starting to feel like, and I have a long way to go because there's so many people out there, but I'm finally starting to feel like I know people in the community now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't want that to ever come out to anybody like, oh man, look at me. I know people. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm starting to be around so much that I'm starting to recognize the names of people and be like, yeah, I know who this person is. And it feels nice. It feels like I'm a part of a little club.
Yeah, it's been a very interesting thing because like backstory for me. As like a kid, I didn't like have a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. I was a pretty lonely kid and kind of isolated kind of lifestyle in a big way. And so I didn't really have like a solid friend group until I was like junior high school. Overall, because I just didn't do a lot of activities. And going into and starting actual play, first off, Memester of the Week was just like an experiment in, I did sound design in college. Mm-hmm. Because my now wife kind of roped me into it, and they were like, we need a sound designer. I was like, what the fuck is that? and then I got an award, which was awesome.
Wow, and I was like, that's cool. Awesome.
I guess this is my thing. Yeah. If you like plays, go read Eurydice by Sarah Rule, a retelling of the Orpheus and Eurydice story. It's mm-hmm. fucking phenomenal. But yeah, I won an award for doing sound design for that. And then it got to 2020 and I hadn't been able to work on anything for a while. And I was like, oh, I want something to sound design with, which means I need material to work from to be able to do that. I've been listening to The Crit Show and I've been listening to Adventure Zone Amnesty, and Monster of the Week seems tight and like works in my brain. I could run Monster of the Week for my wife and my best friend and two of our other really good friends. And episode one of Memester is me running a game for the first time in my life. Like,
really? So you just went straight in.
Yeah, like I wrote that mystery in a fugue state as a really long-term Supernatural fan, just being like, okay, how would an episode of Supernatural play out with this scenario? Which is why like there's a red herring in it, and it is kind of like twisty on how it evolves. And yeah, like I was just like, okay, I'm gonna just write a Supernatural episode and then try and play that, and it worked out.
Yeah, that's a good way of making up a scene. Like, honestly, if you had any way to do it, looking at something and being like, okay, how can I make it feel like this, is a good way to do it. I did something similar when I first started DMing, but I fucked up because I introduced one of the unkillable villain character types, you know what I'm talking about? And yep. It disappointed my players, and understandably so. So there are, you know, there can be consequences, but honestly, it's not a bad thing to do if you look at something and be like, wow, I would love to have a Scooby-Doo-esque type of story for a podcast, and you can just look at Scooby-Doo and be like, okay, these will be my players, and all Scooby-Doo is having a quote-unquote misdirection monster. Hell, you could probably do... Is there any Scooby-Doo themed Monster of the Week podcast out there?
I feel like Memester might be the closest one.
You do have the floating dog. You do have the ghost dog. Yeah, we have
a fucking ghost dog. So we have a group of four people. They travel around in a van and they have a fucking ghost dog. Like, that's the thing.
Actually, yeah, I know that you kind of compared your earlier work to Supernatural, but I think you're closer to Scooby-Doo than anything else.
The goal is, the intentionality of the show is, let's get as close to the Scooby-Doo Supernatural crossover episode as we possibly can. Let's treat every bit and like follow its logical conclusion and roll with what happens, and then every once in a while get deadly serious about what's going on because we do genuinely care about these characters.
Right, yeah.
And it's a lot of fun getting to play in between those two goalposts.
I bet it would be. I mean, hell, I listen to what it is. It's a lot of fun to hear it out, but I feel like, and this is something I've complimented Mr. Ray's team about, Nate's team about, when it comes to audio podcasting and telling these stories, it really, really comes down to how well the players interact with each other and how well they can bounce off each other. Because if they are all antagonistic to each other, or even partly so, it comes off as hard to listen to, you know what I mean?
Yes, it's always awkward to be the third person in the room when a couple is fighting.
That is true.
That's very much what it will feel like if you have people who like genuinely don't get along trying to do scenes together. So very incredibly lucky with the team that we have.
Oh god, yeah. It's one of the best feelings. And I know I talk about this a lot in my later episodes, but I need to stop saying that. That's been one of my fucking key phrases that I've been saying in like every episode is that, oh, I know I've said this in the other part. I need to stop saying that because this is a talk between you and me.
Cut it out.
The hell with you, listeners. But how did you get into role-playing? Like, what was your first foray into it?
My first time doing a TTRPG was when I was in college. And I was living with Phil, also from Memester of the Week. We were roommates. Mm-hmm. We were like the quintessential, like, tied-at-the-hip roommates. And neither of us had played TTRPGs. We were broing out all the fucking time. And our friend Brandon Poole, who is an actor and was in our theater group, and also fun fact, had his birthday is exactly my birthday, 2 years behind me. Wow! So we always shared birthdays together. But Brandon was really into like Warhammer and acting and like TTRPGs and stuff like that. And he was like, "Hey, I have this game called Pathfinder." And we had Pathfinder First Edition. And he was like, do you guys want to play this? And I was like, cool. This is like a game where you get to play in a fantasy world and just like do adventures and stuff, right? And he was like, yeah. I was like, cool. Can I be a bear paladin? He's like, what? I was like, yeah, like a bear paladin. And he's like, yeah, man. I mean, like, I can do like a ranger that turned into a bear. No, I'm like a bear. Like, I just want to be a bear that is old, that also has a belief system. And he's like, yeah, man. I think I'll figure something out. And I like didn't realize
the perfect DM response. The perfect DM response. It's like, yeah, like, dude. You know what? Let's make it happen.
Yeah, it was like. I didn't realize how much of a dick move that was because I didn't understand any of the rules. And I didn't understand in this game you have like a species and like stats that are associated with that species. And I think what we ended up doing was he did just take the stats for a bear and then we just added like paladin class buffs onto it.
Oh, this and we were like, fun.
Oh yeah, let's fucking roll.
Wouldn't blame you. I would not blame you at all, because like when I first started getting into like the role play scene myself, dude, I made some dumbass decisions with a lot of characters, and I didn't know about it. And to be honest with you, when you go from like one system to another, you kind of have a grasp of like what to do, but like when you go from one system to another, it's learning a whole ass new system. So
I mean, like, and if you've never played a game like that. Just in general, if you've never played anything that is more than playing pretend with your friends, mm-hmm. then you have like no expectation of what are the social norms and what are like the rules, quote unquote, to what's going on. So I didn't realize that, like, I had no fucking clue that like what I was asking was honestly fully unreasonable. And God bless Brandon for figuring it out and running that for us. We had a wonderful time. And then like, I didn't do TTRPGs outside of that. Like we ran like one or two one shots in college. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really do TTRPGs outside of that until I got into podcasts because Sarah, who's on Memester, introduced me to them. They were like, hey, you're a nerd. You'd probably like the Adventure Zone. And it turned out I really liked the Adventure Zone.
Yeah, nerd.
Yeah.
We're all nerds here.
Yeah. There's this whole thing with, there's an expectation that we have as people who have played a lot of games that a person who's never touched the industry, never touched TTRPGs in general, has no fucking clue about. And I think it's really important when you're approaching people who haven't done that to make it as much like playing pretend with your friends as you can.
and like you soft insert the rules and like build up to it as you go, because the if you're playing like Pathfinder or D&D stuff like that, like the tactical idea, the tactical component of those games is the thing that's really fun about those games for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so like you kind of have to build up to those things and build on ramps. But like if you can get a person invested in doing something and just like playing pretend,
mm-hmm.
you're the like the battle is won. When you have someone invested in like doing a scene together and you're just playing pretend together, the rules and everything else that comes after that, that like help build up the structure of playing pretend, that's great. But if you can just get someone invested, you've already won the battle. You've won someone over for the game.
And then you can rip their hearts out when the rocks fall on their characters' heads and they die. Yeah. It's the perfect plan.
It's the perfect plan.
It's the perfect plan. Get someone invested, then crush your hopes. That's how I don't know what I was about to say there. That's dumb. How did you do anything else? Like, did you do any sort of like role playing before you got into tabletops, or was it just tabletops was really your first real dig into it?
Yeah, really. Like, I didn't do much outside of that. I would play pretend by myself when I was a kid. And make up stories with fucking marbles. There was one marble I had that was like kind of a dusty yellow with a brown stripe through it, and I was like, this is a sand and lightning user. Like I would make stories up like that. But as far as like trying to play a character or anything like that, I read I was involved in theater a little bit, not as an actor, but as a tech guy. And so I read a bunch of plays in college, and participated in like live readings. And honestly, that's kind of something I want to bring back and maybe do as a memester thing. I don't know, is just like getting the rights or like finding stuff that is fair use and just doing staged readings of plays, because it's fun. it's a lot of fun to do.
I know this might come out as niche, possibly. I feel like because of where I've always lived and grown up and done, I've never had the chance to go out and actually see like a lot of plays and stuff like that. And I feel sad because of this, because I know that I love plays. I watch plays on the TV. I watch them all the time. But I mean, I can't say all the time. The last one I watched was the abridged version of Shakespeare. Have you seen that one?
I've not seen that specifically, but like I absolutely understand the vibe.
Yeah, it's like a comedy thing, but I really love plays, and I know that I would be happy going to a play, but plays just don't seem a part of the real world at sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, I was very lucky in my rural hometown of El Dorado, Arkansas, shout out, that we had an art center, and we had a fucking phenomenal theater teacher for our high school for years and years and years. Delaine Gates. And she was a person who just like absolutely was fully willing to invest themselves in their students. And it's such an incredible blessing to find a teacher who is like that. And so like I was lucky that I at least had a little bit of the theater stuff kind of brewing in the back of my mind even when I was younger. My first date was taking a girl to see MASH, a local production of MASH, which was awesome. But I think that's a very true thing of a lot of people, that if you're not seeking out some of those like some of those art forms, then it's just not going to be a part of your community in a big way. This, to say nothing of the, like the state of arts in America and whether or not society or capitalism respects arts on any way.
It really sort of just falls down to the community at times to make it happen. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so gung-ho about the role-play community, is because like I feel like role-playing in and of itself is an art. Feel free to call me a nerd everybody out there listening. No, I mean, like,
role-playing is the combination of doing improvisation and acting. Difference between role players and professional actors is that role players don't have a script and they have to kind of just go on vibes.
I wish these arts, like theater and stuff like that, I wish they were more abundant. I really do. I feel like a lot of us need to get out of, like, it's one of the reasons why I like going to a theater so much is because when I go to a theater, I am experiencing a story with other people. And that's what I like. I love seeing the crowd react. Like me and my son, right? We went to go see Bad Guys 2 recently. And everybody, there was one part where the two characters, they kissed. Every kid in that theater went, ew. And every adult laughed. That's awesome. Every parent in there. And it was all of us, just parents and kids. And they all, it was such a good, a fun reaction to have. And I'm going to talk about that probably for the rest of my life. But that's why I like going to a theater. I don't like going to a theater just to see a movie. I'll go to the theater to experience the movie with the other people. And I feel like plays are the same way. And again, I don't know why I don't go to one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's in a large part availability and awareness in a big way for a lot of people. I mean, I don't know where you live or what your local culture is like. But I also think, to tie this back into actual play and stuff like that, I think that motivator, that idea of people having a need to create something, and then also people having a want to experience something as a community, is a huge part of why actual play has kind of ballooned out into the size of the art form that it is. And like, that's not saying actual play is gigantic. Actual play is still a very tiny industry in like the realm of, when you're talking about entertainment industries, this is a very small pond. Then inside of that, like, there's the actual play pond, and then there's the monster of the week pond. And like, it the ponds keep getting smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I think one of the things, though, is that want for community. And like, I mean, the funnest thing about listening to actual play shows for me and a lot of other people is going to Discords and being a part of that community with the shows and with the creators and saying, oh yeah, I loved this moment, or like just getting to know, like having that genuine connection with other people to talk about things that you like, because you're finding like-minded community. And I think like that's a huge reason why that kind of ballooned out, especially in 2020 when everyone was like, okay, well, we have nothing else to do for a while, so let's start making art.
Thank goodness.
Inherently, like, people, if you don't have a job that is assigned for you to do, you're still gonna do something. People want to create and do something and feel like they have something going on. And whether or not it's arts or starting your own job or being a baker or anything like that, there's a very human drive to do. Very, very few people really want to just kind of sit at home and only watch TV for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. While I love talking with people, and while I love, you know, editing these things and trying to do justice by everybody, I mean, I don't like being at my computer all the time. I do not like it one bit.
Yeah, no, it sucks. We have to build in the rest of our lives around it, so we're not always at the bad square.
I got an odd question for you. It's kind of role play related, but do you feel like role playing has given you like any sort of skills at all?
Oh my god, yes. Because I started teaching around the same time I started being a role player. I've lived in Japan since 2018, and while I was in Gunma, which is basically the Midwest of Japan, my wife was working as a teacher already, and
I didn't have any Japanese skill, still very little Japanese skill, unfortunately, on my part. But it, like, it was very difficult to find any kind of work. So I, when I talk about like, oh, people kind of want to do more, it's because I lived it. Like, before the pandemic, I was kind of already sheltered in place doing what everyone else ended up doing later, because I didn't have a lot of friends, was in a fully different country. And I was like, well, I have video games and I like was able to purchase a guitar. So I'm going to get real good at doing these things again. I think becoming a role player has prepared me for teaching in a huge way, because running a game is a lot like running a classroom.
Goodness gracious,
At any given moment, you, especially when you're running a classroom for young kids, at any given moment, you're like, okay, I have to kind of keep everybody engaged. I have to like entertain a little, like you have to kind of play the fool a little bit, especially as a young teacher, a teacher to younger students, and kind of just like getting everyone involved and like trying to ensure buy-in. And so like by being a GM and then also by being a player, I've learned a lot about managing my own state, managing my own emotions, while I'm also like handling a lot of things, acting well under pressure. And then also like being watchful of, okay, what do I think this person needs? And that might also go back to, I have a psychology background because I minored in counseling. So that's also kind of a watchfulness that I already was kind of being pushed on. But I think that that's always like a really good thing. But yeah, man, being an improviser made me so much of a better teacher, just because of like project planning, being aware of things in general, being able to improvise things on the spot, and understanding games, especially for being an elementary school and kindergarten teacher, understanding games and understanding how they work and what makes a game fun made it very easy for me as a teaching professional to say, oh, well, we're doing this like section on vocabulary, let's make a game out of it. And just being able to improvise a game and say, okay, here's the rules, here's how we're going to do it, you guys do this, you guys, like breaking it all down. And so yeah, I mean, like it'll help you.
It's an incredibly useful skill.
I was talking to Oscar over on the Behind the Stories podcast just the other day, and we got into the topic of how like role playing could benefit you as a person. And I have to absolutely agree with you. Like, because of role playing, I have been able to take on more of a self awareness of my own character, because I understand what a character is and what character flaws are. So like, I know that I can be loud, I have a boomy voice, it's deep, and I know I can raise it pretty high when I get real excited. I know that if I'm with a group of people and I'm being a little too loud, I can recognize that, you know, maybe I'm being a bit too loud, and I can, because of role playing, I'm so used to self-analyzing myself and going, okay, well, here's how I fix that, and be aware of that, if that made any sort of sense.
No, it 100% did. I'm thinking of, I'm working on a project right now with a couple other people, and I'm co-producing it, and I'm a player. The player character for me is probably one of the most like autobiographical characters that I've ever played. There are clear key differences between them, but like this one hits very close to home. And thinking about like the way that they process things and the way that their life formed out, and then thinking about like basically kind of saying like, okay, well, this is me if these things happen to me in my life, it just makes me very aware of like how I process things in my actual life, and saying like, oh yeah, I do have like some unresolved trauma there. Or that is a sore subject than I thought it was. And being able to do that, and being able to like be aware of those things, is so incredibly helpful for just like moving through life, because it's so easy to be unaware of your own mental state and like what is actually bothering you and how you are like acting and reacting to the world around you, because the world's not an easy place. We all know that. Oh, yeah. And so like that little bit of mindfulness and a little bit of introspection, I think goes a long, long way towards finding some level of like peace and happiness, and role playing absolutely can do that. Role playing is never a replacement for therapy, but it can be therapeutic.
I was about to say, listen, man, I'll tell you, I can't afford that right now. Role playing is all I got.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Like, use what you have, for sure. Use the tools that you have, and reflect on things as best you can. But I mean, like, there are honestly like studies that are being done, and like especially in group therapy, sometimes they do like, okay, like role play in general is a like therapy tactic, and then like using Dungeons and Dragons, using TTRPGs in therapy and in group therapy to help people work through certain issues is a thing that does happen. Because we have people who grew up with TTRPGs that are now professional counselors, and they're like, actually, I see some bleed over here. I think we can make this work.
I also have used it, and I talked briefly about this the other day. I also have contributed role-playing with me wanting to, or me having the confidence to go out and talk to people and to actually do this podcast, because I do love to talk, right? And I do love to perform, but I'm still a very shy guy. And I'm extroverted. I love going out and doing things with people. And if there's something I want to do, I will do it no matter how scared I am. But I don't think I would have gotten to that point if I wasn't able to step out of myself into more confident characters and then reflect on myself as a person using them.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing about role playing that, especially for people who are shy, especially for people with anxiety, is that it does allow you to like put yourself in another person's shoes. And then when you need those tools in your real life, it sounds silly, but you can think like, oh, what would Titus Drake, famed pirate of the Osnian Sea, do in this situation? And you're like, oh, well, he would do this. And then probably Eldritch Blast a guy. and maybe don't Eldritch Blast a guy in real life. That can cause problems for you.
I was just thinking that.
But invest in your own high charisma stat by putting yourself in your character's shoes sometimes.
Absolutely. Gosh, how do I put this without sounding weird? I think everyone should
make it weird.
You're fucking right. I think everyone should role play at some point in their life, and the whole point is something I think a lot of people forget when they're talking about role playing from either side of being out looking in or in looking out, whatever, is that role playing is still playing. We're still trying to have fun and enjoy ourselves performing. We're just playing, and it's okay to play. And I think a lot of people who are admittedly like myself a little bit, who are perfectionists and want to do things but are too scared to do them because of failure, will find that they can make mistakes role playing and learn from those mistakes, and your real world is fine and dandy.
Yeah, I mean, it's an excellent tool. I mean, we could go on and on. Role playing teaches you social contracts. It teaches you like, okay, like if you don't behave in a certain way with certain people, you're going to be ostracized, right? Like, no one wants to play a game at a table with a murder hobo. I've literally like left games because I was just like, hey, you GM, you're not handling this guy who's ruining it fun for everyone else. And I don't have the time in my free time to be a teacher of like emotional skills to everyone, because that's not what I'm always
built for, and that's not what I'm always going to a table for. But like, so you learn like social contract stuff, and then also you learn a level of empathy, because hopefully as a player, you're thinking about who your character is, and you're thinking about, well, what did they want to do? Well, what makes sense for them given their history that you know, and like what's happened in the game to them, and where their mental state is. And not everyone goes and does that, but like if you try to engage with that, you gain a sense of empathy, because you're fully trying to understand a like fictional person. And then it's a lot easier to apply those same skills to understanding people in real life, right?
I will say that like I think the hardest part about role playing, or like once you really kind of get into it, is finding out that you're role playing yourself more often than you're not, and then yes. Going from that point to like, oh, I should maybe like start branching out, because you know, I think everyone starts off that way. It's like you're just role playing yourself, because you know, and then you start getting into the story and stuff like that, and once you get invested in the story, then you start thinking about like different characters and different things outside of yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
If you don't mind me asking, would you be willing to pursue like any other aspect of role playing?
When you say like aspect of role playing, can you define that a little bit for me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did ask that a little too weird. My apologies.
No, you're fine.
Would you consider like virtual reality role playing? Would you consider like MMO role playing, or cosplaying, or LARPing?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of cosplay, because my wife, Amelia, also on Memester, she's a phenomenal actor. That's like knowing, I had never played with Tyler, I had never played with Sarah. I had heard Sarah on her podcast with Cosmonaut Tabletop, but Phil and Amelia, we all went to college together, and I'd seen both of them act, and I was like, oh yeah, if I set up the right dominoes for them, they're gonna fucking kill it. which is why like episode 8, the conversation between Dan and Journey about like, yeah, monsters are real, I'm sorry, was like, oh, that's the moment that we knew we had a show, basically. Because it was right. Like, oh yeah, we got it. But to say all of those things and just hype them up a little bit, Amelia is a great actress, and then also did costuming and cosplay all through like college and stuff like that, and still does it today. And we have some cosplay friends here in Tokyo that we like hang out with and do stuff with. And so like, I like cosplay. It's a lot of fun. The craftsmanship of it, I think, is the thing I like more than actually like being the character. I mean, I have a Thor cosplay for when my hair is really long, because I'm 6'3". I'm 6'3", and I'm like 20-ish pounds. Like I'm a big dude, and I fill out a Thor cosplay very well.
Oh yeah.
And that's always really fun, especially when I got to do it with like my kindergarten kids, and like we would have Halloween and I'd be in the big Thor costume and they'd be running around as like little Kimetsu no Yaiba characters, and I'd be picking them up.
And they'd that's so just sweet.
Hanging off my arms. And so like that aspect of roleplay, absolutely, that's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I think I would enjoy LARPing a lot. I think LARPing could be really fun too.
Yeah. I really want to start getting into LARPing myself, because I feel like that will help me in two different ways. I think it will help me understand the community better, right? Because I do want to go out there, and I do want to involve the LARPers in this conversation about role-playing. And I also think it will help me kind of go out and perform physically, because like I'm used to performing via words on a keyboard, right? Because I primarily do MMO role playing, because I don't have time to go out and like set stuff up with people at a shop or my friends here in town. We're all so busy. So I can hop on Elder Scrolls Online or World of Warcraft and role play. But like
going out and physically acting is something I've never done before, and I've always wanted to.
Yeah, it would be a very cool thing to do, I think. Like, I've never done a Ren Faire or anything. I was not in a place in America that did that. Mm-hmm. So that doing a Ren Faire at least once and just like dressing up like a like fucking Aragorn sounds tight.
Yeah, I'll really want to go to a Ren Faire. I really need to. I've been around something like a Ren Faire, but not exactly like the Ren Faire experience. You know what I mean? I definitely need to go to a Ren Faire. Anyways, I have two questions for you, right? One of the questions is that I like to ask people before we come to an end, because we are getting close. If you have any advice as a role player to other role players, what would that be?
I would say that's an excellent question. I think a lot of people, especially if you are a person with anxiety, especially if you're a person who is a perfectionist, I think a lot of people will get in their own heads about, oh, I have to optimize this, or I have to play the rules correctly, or I have to. And I would say 100%, it is more fun for you and it is more fun for your table if you find the first thought that you have and let go of everything else and just run with it. Even if it's a bad idea, especially if it's a bad idea. Bad ideas get you places. Sitting around and trying to think of good ideas is what results in us sitting around for 20, 30 minutes, and not just like one individual player, but like everybody just kind of sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I strongly believe like first thought, best thought, try and put that away. And that's not even just a role-playing advice. That's also just like writing advice. One of my favorite practices that I learned from doing The Artist's Way that Julia Cameron wrote is morning pages, where you just sit down and you dump all of your thoughts out, just stream of consciousness writing. Do not edit it. Do not review it. Do not think about it. And just do two pages and then be done. And that's an excellent practice, because it teaches you not to question yourself.
Right, right.
It teaches you to just let go, let everything get out there, and then you can evaluate your decisions later.
Right.
But I think that that's an incredibly useful skill for people. Is to just trust your gut. Go with whatever you think the thought is. And if it's a bad idea, awesome. Bad ideas is how we get cool fucking moments, especially at the table.
I would have never learned if I just didn't go off and do it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, like Memester wouldn't exist if I didn't have the blind self-confidence that only being a white guy can give you.
Same with this podcast.
Just being like, hey, yeah, you guys want to do this thing? I've never done it before. I've never done it before, but I think we can do it. And it worked out. And thankfully it did. But it would have never happened if I didn't just try. And yep. I think trying is the best. If you can be a person who consistently tries, you're going to be a person who lives a very full life.
Yeah. Yeah, I will absolutely 100% attest to that, because if I didn't try, we wouldn't be here talking. And that would be sad, because I have very, very much enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
I have one more question for you, and this kind of relates back to something you said way earlier. You went to a Pokemon cafe, so therefore I have to ask, which one's your favorite? And if it's not Zubat, the answer is wrong.
That's awesome.
Zubat is the peak Pokemon, just so everyone out there knows.
Last year, we did a Hear Me Out party, and we made a Hear Me Out cake, and one of my choices was the Gen 1 Golbat Sprite.
Oh, God, I love that. Yeah. Just the long tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What that mouth do.
Oh, my God. Hold on, listen, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking that Golbat was awesome, okay?
Yeah, sure, man.
I love all of them. I love Zubat, Golbat, Crobat. I don't know why. I just love the bats. Yeah.
They're great. Yeah, I have three favorite Pokemon. My wife and I met because of Pokemon.
What? That's a whole story I want to hear, but not now.
Yeah, we met because of Pokemon in college. I was playing, I had my Game Boy Color from, childhood. I was playing Crystal, and that's how we started hanging out. And then X and Y came out around that same time, and so all of our friends got 3DSs, and we were playing Pokemon together. And so my wife's wedding ring is a Master Ball, and then my wedding ring is like a silver band, and it has inlaid the silhouettes of our six favorite Pokemon. It is our team together.
Oh, and so that's so cool.
My favorite Pokemon are Totodile.
Uh-huh. Love Totodile.
Scizor.
Uh-huh.
And Gengar.
Yeah, Gengar is pretty cool. Totodile was my choice for Gold and Silver.
Yep. Yeah, Totodile was my first Pokemon that I ever had. Gold and Silver was my first game. And hopefully soon I'm going to get an arm piece that's combining on my right arm, like my right forearm, that will combine Hokusai's like wave. And then have the like Gen 2 Neo Genesis Sugimori trading card art of Totodile kind of like jumping out of the wave, and that's gonna be on my right forearm. It's gonna
a cool one.
Fucking sick.
Yeah, I think Totodile is one of the coolest Pokemon out there, because I was definitely a Totodile boy.
Yeah, he's just a good chompy lad.
Good chompy lad. Well, Jason, where can everybody find you?
Yeah, everyone, you can find me on Blue Sky, Memester OTW Pod. You can find me on Instagram at Jason Myers Music. You'll see pictures of my cats, stuff that I do in my daily life, some of the Memester stuff, and then some of the stuff for my band, The Heretics. We're getting ready to play shows here in Tokyo soon. And that's going to be a lot of fun. Come hang out. And of course, come find me and so many other phenomenal actual plays in the Actual Place Discord, where Island and I, we have met. And just having a good time. Really cool, supportive community. Absolutely love being there.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.